What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We are again broadcasting live at the Sports Neuropsychology Society Conference. The fourth annual conference is here in Houston, and I am pleased to be able to broadcast live and bring these interviews to you. We're talking with Grant Wiesman, working on his doctorate, and he's also in the military. Thank you for your service, for protecting my family and keeping them safe. And we're talking with Dr. John Ralston, CEO of X2 Biosystems. I was just looking over the flyer. It's one of the systems that's used in the NFL, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you yet, so I was going to be very informative here, but there's actually a patch that you wear behind your ear, and it's supposedly the best, or at least that's what you're going to tell us here, right?
That is indeed what I will tell you.
All right, there you go.
Well, just to start off, I want to say thank you for your sponsorship of this conference, you know, fourth annual. So
we're pleased to be participating as a sponsor.
Absolutely. So, you know, the floor is kind of open to you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about X2?
Let me start by also thanking Grant for his service. We do a great deal of work currently with the U.S. Army as a customer and development partner, as well as professional sports organizations, National Hockey League, Major League Soccer. Through those two, we've known and worked with Ruben and India for several years now. As well as the National Football League, growing amount of work with rugby worldwide, in the UK, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, youth sports, collegiate sports, professional sports, but all with a focus on really changing the discussion away from diagnosing this class of brain injury from repeated impacts after they happen, to try and develop and introduce products that help to reduce the risks, reduce the incidence, reduce the costs. So we provide, to all those folks I've just mentioned, basically two components of what's becoming a fully integrated product platform. First of all, we have a wearable sensor. It's currently the most widely deployed wearable head impact monitor. It's used all around the world, growing already very large, but continuously growing into athletic environments. The data from these devices has already given us a much, much deeper, much broader understanding of what happens when a head is impacted, as well as how to better manage, and in many cases, probably most exciting, how to reduce the incidence. We also provide probably the leading sideline tablet implementation of the SCAT tool. Baseline neurocognitive assessment in season, for example, as well as post-impact reassessments to come up with a more quantitative assessment of changes in neurocognitive. But the, as I said, the focus really is on prevention. We've had a good handful of truly landmark studies published by some leading concussion groups in the U.S. just in the last couple of months that have shown utilizing the data from the wearable sensor to identify athletes at risk, behavior that puts them at risk of head impacts, as well as activities, whether it's game time or in practice, that can be modified or eliminated. That data, when employed simply to reduce the risk, is already reducing the incidence of severe brain impact or head impacts and the corresponding brain injuries by 30 to 70%. If you consider the best numbers we have right now from folks like the Centers for Disease Control, concussion currently costs just the U.S. something between $80 billion and $140 billion a year. Direct medical costs, loss of productivity. So if you can do something, if I got a little $150 patch you can put behind young athletes' ears, and you know, by paying attention to the data that comes out of it, you can reduce that $80 to $140 billion by 37%. That's not just a lot of happier, healthier, and probably higher performing athletes or soldiers. It's a huge cost savings on the system.
Well, and I think part of what we've learned over the last few years, you know, we've had a lot of advances in the research where we kind of focus on a single concussion to repeat injuries to, you know, how much, how often. And if anything, we were kind of coming, being confronted with how much we still don't know. So it seems, you know, this is giving us a lot of data to work with.
Well, to be fair, we know far more than we need to know to take immediate and far more comprehensive action. And it's a little bit saddening, disturbing that much of what researchers are now digging into to reinvent was pretty thoroughly documented going back 30, 35 years when a whole different bunch of people worked for an National Transportation Highway Safety was trying to figure out, should we make seatbelts mandatory, mm-hmm. right? We know enough about the results of head impacts to do far more than we are currently doing. And it's important to acknowledge there is a very large body of evidence and has been for long enough to have done a better job of responding to it that shows we should just take the focus on concussion off the table. Mm-hmm. There are serious brain injuries as a result of repeated head impacts, whether or not anyone ever diagnoses clinically concussions. So the focus really has to be on head impacts, the accumulated damage due to impacts to the head over a longer time, and stop waiting until a concussion happens to say we have to do something. Right? There is a need to do something about it. And we have tools, not just ours, but we believe ours are the most comprehensive to develop, most widely deployed. The data shows how effective they are. That can assess the accumulation of head impact damage all the way to some of the work that we've ourselves funded with leading neuroimaging researchers around the that show just how serious and how much early in the process the onset of that breathing happens. For example, a single season of playing collegiate women's soccer. These are NFL football players. These are 17 to 21-year-old female collegiate soccer players. At the end of the season, you can see a distinct pattern of damage in brain that is consistent with simple frontal headers. You can also see very localized damage at the bottom of the cortical sulci, those little folds, where we know from mechanical modeling that forces will pile up during an impact. Key takeaway from that is that even very, very moderate impacts to the head, which are traditionally thought to be at levels that are safe, can actually result very locally in the brain in very large forces that damage. And that location at the bottom of the cortical sulci, that is exactly where, in recent studies, where tau protein has been found to preferentially collect in the brains of professional football players who have been diagnosed post-mortem to have suffered from CTE. In fact, the first defined stage now for CTE is abnormal tau protein accumulation at the bottom of the sulci. The fact that we can image damage exactly there in very high-resolution MRI, diffusion spectroscopy, multidimensional anisotropy, brain imaging that has sufficient sensitivity to find those localized patches of damage. The fact that we see it that early indicates that potentially, I'm going to stick my neck or any other part of my anatomy out too far here, but it needs to be acknowledged and acted upon. Mm-hmm. There's a very real chance that the earliest impact of heads plant the seeds for CTNs and how exactly propagates over time, we don't know. But if you're privy to the knowledge that it can start that early and choose to do nothing or say, oh, we have to research that for 5 more years, some of these giving several hundreds of dollars to do that, that's the way to treat our young athletes or our men and women.
Well, I really appreciate the balance that you're presenting of we have all the research, we have some things that we know exist, you know, exact cause isn't completely, scientifically put out there for everything, and we know enough. We know enough to start doing more than we're currently doing, and I think that at times that part of advocate from the scientific community isn't always, we kind of get caught up in the trees as opposed to the forest. We know enough to start doing more than absolutely.
Right. And if we're simply pretending to need to know more to fund research that's reinventing wheels 30 years, it's also very inefficient. It's find far better ways to deploy that money directly, again, to meet the needs to make life safer for those young athletes, mm-hmm. The 20 million young athletes, not the handful of those things for assessment program, but the high volumes in the 100,000, a couple million men and women across all the forces.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a member of the military, I appreciate that. I kind of want to go back to a little bit more about what X2 does product-wise. I was noticing some pretty fancy tablet-based app-type things. You can talk a little bit about that.
Yes, at the end of the day, the devices that are measuring head impacts, as well as the neurocognitive tool that's putting a baseline on an athlete at the beginning of the season, looking at how that changed post-impact, generates a lot of data, and our business is rapidly evolving to a healthcare data analytics business. We currently sit on the world's largest database of direct head impact, around 6 million, and as we begin to dig into that data using a variety of advanced data analytics techniques, there are some very, very clear patterns emerge. They're beginning to give us the part that each impact as it happens, bounce it off that large database, and make much more accurate, much more precise. Today, focus on risk reduction, but tomorrow at some point also much more accurate, powerful diagnosis as well. So what you see on the tablets are the first versions of the products where we're crunching the numbers and making immediate recommendations about, okay, based on what just happened, you're good, you're safe, keep playing, have fun. We go a step further and say, in fact, you're getting the lowest impacts of anyone in your team. So, throwing them. It's a little bit of competition is good to get people focusing on
technique,
right? You'll see in our iPad demo this wonderful images that get generated of a head with a sea of arrows from all of us. Mm-hmm. We have a growing number of young high school players who look at that and chastise their colleagues for being the unicorns in the crowd, the guys that keep on having cluster of arrows protruding from the forehead of their helmet, right? Because they can't get their helmet out of it when they tackle, and being a unicorn is bad. We've got a bunch of 16-year-old kids, having pictures in their head of how to play safer, right? And beating that into their fellow athletes, that's only good, right? So unintended effects. We find that in many teams, particularly high school teams, our products, it creates a whole new level of camaraderie between the players and their overworked trainers and coaches. Many of whom are just volunteers, and they love the game and they like to be out there. But let's be honest. It's like parents and their own kids. It's sometimes hard to get inside their head. And sharing this data has proven just a phenomenal social bonding experience for young athletes and their coaches.
And what matters is not just the sharing of the data, but how you share it.
Yes. So we pay a lot of attention to all the issues around usability, how we present it, when we present it, and having a very, very simple, clear path to acting on the action.
Okay. Well.
All right. So as an athletic trainer practicing at the high school, give me the basic of this is the first time I've seen it, so give me the basics of what it is, how it works, because my primary audience listening is
after. Yep. So you line the players up, you put the little wearable sensor behind their ear, your iPhone or your tablet device brings up the team, that you see all of the athletes who are logged into the system, you see all the devices, you can make sure that each player has a device actually assigned to them by name and number. If not, you can quickly assign. The devices are sitting in idle mode, you can now activate them, at which point they're starting to use up a little bit of the precious battery power, and they're going to start recording impacts. And you can simply let it run and gather all the impact data, and at either halftime or the end of the game, as the players come back in, those devices have Bluetooth connectivity, they automatically sync, they dump the data goes up in the cloud, and you immediately get an alert back, and you can choose how much information you want. But the basic alert is all your players are good today, or the following players accumulate enough impacts that you want to put them through. You've already got a baseline neurocog, run it again. Take 8 minutes, rerun it just to make sure that there are no observable changes in the neurocog behavior. Or it will tell you if one or more players had either a single impact or an accumulation of impacts in this most recent session, or the ones they received today put their accumulation for the last week, the last month, the last season over a threshold where if your primary interest is, as it should be, the athlete's safety, they should be sent to see a doctor. So removed from play, and under the youth concussion safety laws that we have in the books in all 50 states now, when you make that assessment, they should be removed from play. There's a risk of injury due to head impact. They can't return that day anyway. They need to be cleared before they play. So it's, in the report, you hit a button, send to parents, send to doctor, so that you've done your part. Information is passed on to the people who are going to make the decision, and you'll find by the end of your first season doing that, serious impacts will have declined 30-70% in your
app. All right, so when you send it to the doctor, we have a problem with kids going to some emergency rooms, and it just seems that they don't have a good idea of how to deal with concussion. So do they have to go through a certain training to be certified for the X2, or is there a report saying this, or is there a certain, what's the best way to get them cleared from a doctor? Because if I send a kid to a doctor saying, hey, you had enough impact, you need to go see a doctor, well, they're going to go to the doctor down the street and they're like, well, do you have any problems? No? Okay, we'll go back to playing.
That is a, it's a very real problem. It's one, unfortunately, that we're not in a position to address directly, but this organization, the
Sports Neuropsychology Society.
That's right. If you look at the flyer they actually include with everyone's registration, they will point you through registry, find a doctor trained and certified in handling concussions in your neighborhood. Go to that link, and that's one of the great services that this organization is providing. We need more of them. They need to be better. I mean, we all know where to find it. If you chip a tooth, you have no problem finding a dentist, right? You get a whack to the head, you should have no problem finding a doctor who knows how to assess deafness.
Well, we really appreciate the plug for sportsneuropsychologysociety.com, mm-hmm. where you can go and find the sports neuropsychologist.
Exactly.
All right. So in April 2016, what's it in general cost for that system for a high school? Usually if you mention things with NFL or NHL, you're like, well, that's unrealistic. So
we have just about finished the process of migrating the manufacturing of these sensors into a very high volume, low cost consumer electronics factory run by one of the biggest consumer electronics manufacturers in the world. So in fact, in Zhuhai, China, I would spend 2 days there as we were in the process of setting it up, so we can manufacture these things at a much higher volume, much faster. We can make these things. I mean, there are, we are targeting 22 million youth athletes youth through high school under the age of 19 today who play sports and have concussion risk, right? Everything from football, hockey, soccer, lacrosse, basketball, wrestling, as well as some other fun stuff like cycling, like skiing, aerial skiing in particular, horseback riding. 22 million young athletes who, under the laws now, youth concussion safety laws, have to be monitored, and someone has to act on the suspicion that they took a head impact and caused injury. So we have the most comprehensive tool to do that. We don't sell anything. We simply license it. We give you everything you need for as many players you need it for. The cost is $150 per player per year, and that gets you the wearable impact sensor, access to the entire cloud data platform, all the data storage, analysis, automatic reporting, the application that runs on your iPhone or your iPad, and the neurocognitive assessment tool that you can use to baseline testing, as well as post-impact assessment. That is, it's the only end-to-end solution on the market. There are lots of additional bells and whistles that could be added, and we likely will add in the future. But today, it is good enough. Again, has been shown in a number of landmark studies into which we simply provided the equipment. So independent third parties, including some of the best-known concussion researchers here in the country, several of whom are giving talks there and will be tomorrow, have shown that just do that, gather the data, look at the data, look at the very simple messages telling you, and you will greatly enhance the safety. And we've recently done interesting numbers, review with insurance providers. What is a concussion cost? So if a high school athlete gets a concussion, sort of run-of-the-mill concussion where it's been identified they should be removed from play, they have to be assessed and then signed off before they return to play, typically generates billings on the order of $15,000 in the system. So at $150 a kid, you can, for that same $15,000, you can dispatch it on 100 kids. And we don't reduce the concussion count this season by one, it's 5, 10, 15. The message there is that these things pay for them. You need to see some very significant interest from insurance providers to say, look, we'll be happy to provide insurance for your high school or club or for your athletic activity, but you're going to have to wear these sensors. In return for that, we're actually going to reduce your premiums because we're going to save money and you're going to save heads. So there is a world in which this is very economic practice. This teams that you'll just get as part of your insurance package. Not unlike my automotive insurance people have offered to give me a very big reduction in my insurance if I simply take a little motion sensor, very analogous, and stick it in my car to prove that I don't drive faster than 65. You know, I don't continually drop my car into park while I'm jammed in transit. I don't hit speed bumps in a manner that cracks my engine block, right? If it works for my driving insurance and my kids' driving insurance, sure as hell is going to work for the heads.